From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where the city's preliminary mayoral election has been decided. City councilors Michelle Wu and Anissa Asabi George will face each other in November. With us to unpack things is GBH's Adam Riley. Hey, Adam.
Hi, Arun.
So, Adam, when Kim Janey took over for Marty Walsh back in March, the conventional wisdom seemed to be that she was basically guaranteed a spot in the final election. What changed since then, or what happened?
It's a great question, and I was one of those people who thought that she was a lock for the final simply by dint of being acting mayor. I'd point to a few different things. She was taking the same path that Tom Menino took back in 1993. He became acting mayor when Ray Flynn left to become Bill Clinton's ambassador to the Vatican. He was elected outright a few weeks later, and then he ran Boston for two decades. A lot of us, myself included, thought that past would be prologue. But there were some big differences between Janey's tenure and Menino's. She was in office for a lot longer than he was. She was in office during the midst of what we hope is a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. And she had some big messes to clean up that were left to her by the previous administration. I'm thinking in particular of the scandal involving Dennis White, who Walsh hastily appointed as police commissioner right before he left to become Joe Biden's labor secretary. It turned out, we learned via the Boston Globe, that White had actually been accused of domestic violence and had been hired anyway. In addition, I'll say she suffered from some self-inflicted wounds. At one point, she was asked whether maybe Boston should implement a vaccine passport program, and she responded by comparing the idea of vaccine passports to birtherism. So there were a lot of things that didn't break her way, and it serves, I think, in retrospect, as a reminder that incumbency can be a big advantage, but it can also pose real problems for someone who wants to stay in that office long term.
Well, moving over to where the assumptions were correct, and not just to make you feel better, because we're talking about the other finalist here, Michelle Wu. It seemed that she was a strong candidate from the beginning. People were thinking she would make it into the final, and she did, and it was by a pretty wide margin, right?
Yeah, she won comfortably. She didn't, I don't think, you know, break a sweat, to speak metaphorically, on election day at all. And in Wu's case, I would point to a few reasons for her success. She was the first candidate to get in this race, so she was running for a long time. She has run citywide several times as an at-large city councilor in Boston. So Wu knew what it took to campaign around the city, and I think you see that and the fact that she's been at this for a really long time in her comfortable margin of victory.
And obviously, this is a case where we're coming in second is a huge deal. And Anissa Asabi George had a different kind of win last night. She beat out Janey and Andrea Campbell. Is that as much of a surprise as it seems to be? And tell us what happened for her to pull this out.
I don't think it's a huge surprise. There were a lot of people who, right before the election, including myself, were saying that they thought it was going to be Wu and Asabi George. Her poll numbers had been improving. She also had a very special niche in this race. She was running more than any other candidate as the successor to Marty Walsh's legacy. She was endorsed by Walsh's mom, which kind of drove that point home. She, more than any other candidate, was the pro-police candidate. Compared to the other candidates, she is the conservative in the race. Now, by national standards, she wouldn't be conservative at all. But compared to Wu, she's more of a moderate centrist, whereas Wu is very clearly a progressive who's on the left. I think having all those things to distinguish her as the other candidates who were more similar ideologically and in terms of identity made similar cases was a real boost for Asabi George.
So with a month and a half to make their cases to voters, do you think those will be the elements that they will say play up to the more liberal base and Asabi George play up to the more conservative side of the Democratic sphere here in Boston? How do you think it'll play out?
I think that's part of how we'll see Wu and Asabi George differentiate themselves. But we already saw last night in their victory speeches, I think a hint of another area that's going to be a flashpoint. I guess I'd say it boils down to political ambition. Wu has run for mayor the same way she has run repeatedly and won for the city council. She is casting herself as a proponent of big systemic change. Take a listen to how she put it at one point in her speech yesterday.
I know that in this city, if we dig deep down to the legacy of where we've been as a city, giving birth to this democracy, fighting for the important fights, standing together for abolition, civil rights, marriage equality, public education, public libraries, public parks. In Boston, when we come together, nothing is impossible.
Asabi George is taking a very different approach. She is casting herself as someone who understands the limitations of city government, who is not going to get people's hopes up too high, who's not going to make them unrealistically aspire to things that city government isn't necessarily going to be able to do. And she took what sounded to me like a pretty clear rhetorical shot at Wu on this front yesterday evening.
Let me be very clear about this. The mayor of Boston cannot make the tea free.
It'll be really interesting to see what voters warm to. My own experience watching political campaigns is that candidates who can stir excitement and get people to think big tend to thrive. But on the other hand, you know, we live in a moment when many people are jaded when it comes to politics, and there may be some Boston voters who just want to see the mayor sticking to things that the mayor has traditionally done. And among other things, this election is going to be a referendum on those two very distinct visions.
Interesting. Well, this very interesting mayoral race seems like it's going to stay interesting right up until the end. Adam, thanks so much.
Thank you, Arun.
That's GBH's Adam Riley. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. Supporters of Michelle Wu were fired up over their candidate's victory last night, and backers of Anissa Asabi George were also celebrating. One of them, Joy Joy, was a student of Asabi George's when she taught at East Boston High School. Joy helped introduce the candidate to the crowd at her campaign watch party at the Venezia restaurant in Dorchester. She said that helping her former teacher win is personal.
She ran prom committee, and she actually crowned me prom queen. So I'm hoping, you know, we could just pass the torch and crown her, you know, mayor, you know?
Joy has followed in Asabi George's footsteps. She's now a teacher at East Boston High School herself. In other news, the number of patients being treated for COVID in Massachusetts hospitals has now jumped to more than 700. And that says a rising number of patients are being hospitalized with other illnesses as well. Justin Precourt, chief nursing officer at UMass Memorial Medical Center, says healthcare facilities around the state are hitting capacity.
We're looking at all elective procedures. We're evaluating any patient who's been admitted to see if we can come up with a safe discharge plan for them.
The nationwide nursing shortage is also contributing to the state's bed crunch. Here's Tufts Medical Center chief nursing officer Terry Hudson Jinks.
People are stepping down from the amount of hours that they used to work. So we are always thinking about ways in which we can enhance the numbers of staff we have caring for patients.
Mass General Dr. Peter Dunn says they're averaging between 98 and 100% capacity as they take in patients from smaller hospitals. And finally, there was an emotional farewell at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Lawrence yesterday for Marine Sergeant Yohani Rosario, who was killed at the airport bombing in Kabul last month. Hundreds attended services for Rosario and listened to fellow Marine Captain Pascal DeMeo describe her last act of courage as she was screening women and children waiting for a flight out of Afghanistan at the airport gates.
Two women, two Afghan women being crushed. They're helpless. Sergeant Rosario turned to Captain Fassick before she took off. Her final words, "They need me, sir."
60 of Rosario's fellow Marines were flown in from Bahrain so they could attend the wake. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo in news, I'm Arun Roth. Be well. Here's another podcast you might enjoy, All Revved Up. Join hosts and reverends Irene Monroe and Emmett Price as they explore the intersection of faith, politics, and culture. New episodes of All Revved Up drop every other Wednesday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.